You're listening to the Podcast Detroit Network. Visit www.podcastdetroit.com for more information.
Hi, everybody. This is good old JR Jim Ross. I am a WWE Hall of Famer, and you are listening to Knockouts and
Recaps.
Recap. And it is a slaughter.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to
Knockouts and Three Counts.
Yes, sir. This is Knockouts and Three Counts. We're here once again with another episode of Podcast Gold. We've got a jam-packed show. Real quick, any announcements, Kyle?
We won the bet.
You damn right.
We won the bet courtesy of Austin Theory. I ate good at breaking down the ring's dime, and Devin had some podcast juice that wasn't on a podcast. But yeah, we had a good time at the Extreme Rules party at B-Dubs downtown Detroit.
Make sure you guys come out next month, August 11th, for the SummerSlam party. It was going to be the big party this time. We'll be upstairs at Buffalo Wild Wings, be giving away prizes. Make sure you come fill out your pro wrestling scorecards and just come have a great time with us, man. It's always a good time down there at
B-Dubs. You never know what you could win. We've given away NXT tickets. We've given away Sting bats. We've given away a bunch of shit.
We might give away some Evolve tickets. You never know. And speaking of Evolve, Kyle, why don't you introduce our guest, man?
So on the line with us, as you guys know, we've been previewing Evolve 131 leading up to it. And on the line with us tonight, we got a guy who was in the ring and right in the middle of the action. We have Evolve wrestling referee Jeff Bundy. How you doing, brother man?
I'm doing good, brother. How are you tonight?
Not too bad. Just drove through a fucking monsoon to get to the studio, but it's all right.
It's raining here. I don't know exactly where you're located. I can tell by your area code that you're probably not too far, but I'm in Marysville, Michigan. So
yeah, we're here in the mean streets of Royal Oak right now.
Oh, mean streets. I got it.
Yes, yes, yes. But well, we're going to ask you plenty of questions about Evolve. You were there in Philly this past weekend, in the middle of the ring. Yep, you were there. But I guess I'll start, because some of my questions aren't necessarily about Evolve. We'll definitely get to that. But we only had one other referee on the show, and that was a former ECW referee, John Pee Wee Moore. And we really didn't get to ask questions about being a referee. And it's something that I've always been interested in. So I wanted to get, you know, kind of let us in on what it is to be a referee. And like the question that I always get asked from people that, you know, kind of want to get in the business, asking me, hey, how can I get in? How does one person become a referee?
Well, first off, you have to go to school, and you have to be able to have people like throw your name around, people that'll sign for you. In this business, who you know and who you work with, you know, has a lot to do with your success. So going to a reputable training school, that's very important. That's a very good first step. And you have to have drive and passion, and you have to really try to harness and perfect your craft. It's a lot of hard work. It's not quite as physical as, you know, the wrestlers, what they do in the ring. But it's definitely a strenuous thing, and the psychology has to be there. So, you know, there's a lot of things involved, you know, with being a professional wrestling referee.
Yeah, and a lot of people, when they come and ask us, they say, oh, well, you know, I really don't want to wrestle. You know, I just want to go to, like, specific training for a referee. Is there specific training, or do you have to go through the exact same training as all the other wrestlers that's there for wrestling training?
Well, when I started, when I broke in the business with Drew Taylor and Congo Kong and Briar Wellington, I pretty much just followed them around for a while and learned a lot of the psychology stuff of being a referee and, you know, being in the business itself. When I did go and train with Les Thatcher, I learned a lot more about psychology from a referee standpoint. I did train a little bit and take bumps, but my body didn't respond well to the bumps, so I knew that I had made the right decision being a referee. So,
as Stone Cold would say, you were allergic to the mat.
Yeah, pretty much. I'm 45 years old, and I feel a little crispy when I get up out of bed. So yeah, I don't need to be taking bumps right now. So I will bump if I need to, but I would prefer not to. So.
Okay. So we talked a little bit about how you got into being a referee and things like that. How'd you end up with Evolve?
Les Thatcher told me about Gabe Sapolsky, and that I should try to link up with him and like go to a camp or try to get, you know, hooked up with Evolve. And so I ended up going to an Evolve camp in 2016. I went to try out, and I made some contacts there with Gabe and some of the workers, and Gabe said he didn't have any, you know, referee positions available at the moment. And it was kind of you know, he gave me a lot of good feedback on things that he liked. So it gave me a positive attitude about things. About a year later, I ended up, I don't remember the first show that I went to, forgive me. It was Evolve 83, 84 around there. I started flying, myself out, to different places where Evolve was, and I was setting the ring up, and I was, you know, doing security and doing various jobs, you know, just trying to be a part of the team and, you know, trying to get my foot in the door. And when D.A. Brewer got signed to NXT, the referee position opened up, and I was there dressed and ready to go. And Gabe said, okay, you're on. And then shortly after that, it's been a pretty crazy ride. So. But that's how I got on Evolve. So it was just a lot of determination on my part and, you know, a lot of pushing through and, you know, just being resilient. You know, I'm hungry and, you know, I wanted to eat, so to speak. So, yeah, hard work is, I guess, how I got there. So,
yeah, actually, touched on something that I've always heard in wrestling is that, you know, no matter what, no matter where you go, if you're at a wrestling show, always have your gear with you ready to go. I think that's a perfect example of it right there. You know, I guess you weren't planning on working that day and opportunity just happened to open up, man. So that's a great advice for wrestlers and referees coming in. Do you have any other advice for someone that wants to be a referee or a wrestler that's coming into the business?
excuse me here. I'm a little hoarse. I apologize.
Okay.
I would say, the best advice is be around, surround yourself with people that have the same goals. You know, try to be selective of where you work, you know, when, especially for the younger guys, you know, whatever they can just to get the work in. And I get that, you know, there's nothing wrong with that. But at, you know, at some point, you know, you gotta pick quality over. And you know, you pass yourself with the right people and be there, have your gear, make yourself accessible, you know, be seen. You got to be seen. If people see you working and doing stuff and you're there, you know, pro wrestling's weird. So
we've talked about how you got into Evolve. You said you came in around Evolve 83. You know, talk a little bit about, you know, the biggest changes you've seen from the time you got into Evolve to where we're at now, where they're doing specials on WWE Network and having NXT guys come in all the time and all that kind of stuff.
We have gotten better in, like, I want to say production aspects. Like, you know, we've gotten, you know, better looking things and, more quality lights and, you know, things like that have changed, you know, since the beginning. The roster has flipped over quite a bit. You know, people like Zack Sabre Jr. and, you know, guys like that, that chose to go over and, you know, work overseas, you know, which is, you know, it's a better deal for them to do that apparently. And, you know, all those guys, you know, they went to NXT and Drew Gulak and all those guys, you know, I guess the most different thing is the locker room. It's changing over so quick because people are going on to, you know, bigger and better things and, you know, moving on with their career, you know, into different aspects of it. So.
Well, you want to jump into the 10th anniversary show, Kyle?
Might as well.
Well, like we said, the 10th anniversary show was this past Saturday in Philadelphia on the WWE Network. It's a great opportunity for the company. So for you personally, man, being on the WWE Network, the biggest platform that Evolve has had, what was that opportunity like for you?
I don't want to sound like I'm a badass or nothing, but it was just another day at work. but honestly, candidly here, but we're on a podcast, so it's not candidly, but right. We all had confidence in ourselves and what we were doing. Okay. It was just another Evolve show, but yeah, we were on the WWE Network and we had time, we're professionals. We got through the butterflies and all that stuff leading up to, but when it was that day and it was time to get, shit going, it was balls to the wall and, the pedal was on the metal, so to speak. It was just, it was quite an amazing feeling. It set in more afterwards. We had a show in Boston the next day, so we were busy again. But when I got back to Michigan on Monday, that's when it set in. That was the craziest thing, was to watch it, and realize why I was there, because I was kind of, doing my job and stuck in the moment. And it was just me and the two competitors, in the ring at that point. I was kind of, locked in that hard. So
Speaking of, pretty surreal
though, to hear and think about it.
So speaking of that, you were in the ring for one of the matches that probably got, I would say, some of the most plug for the night, with the Brandi Lauren Shotzi Blackheart match, or whatever, I misspoke. But anyways, tell us a little bit about that match and tell us about it from, a ref's point of view, what you saw in that match and, your thoughts on it as a whole.
Those two women right there, they pretty much showed what the two grit of women's wrestling is all about. Much respect to the ladies. They put it all on the line,
yep.
for the opportunity to be shown to millions. And I mean, however many people, caught our stream and on the network, but Shotzi and Brandi are both true professionals and, they truly both left their heart in the ring there. And, again, it was a very surreal moment to be a part of that moment, because it was quite brutal. And, I was very worried about those two. And luckily, everything was good. And, they made it safely and everything. But I was honored and a pleasure to work in the ring with two ladies.
Yeah, that was actually one of the questions I was going to ask. Like, were you concerned for their well-being during that match?
Most definitely. I'm actually getting goosebumps right now thinking about it and talking about it, because you can watch it over and over and over. And, it's just, the brutality of the spots, with the kendo stick and with the chairs and, the on the apron, bump and everything. And, it's just, yeah, it's those ladies. They're amazing. So
here's something I've kind of always wondered, and I think this is like the perfect time to ask the question. So right now we're in the middle of a revolution in wrestling where women are getting equal opportunities to men. And only the next progression of that is for the women to be in these more extreme matches like the one that you were a part of. Do you think those type of matches are being well received? And do you get a little bit more concerned or a little bit more cringy when you see women doing some of these same moves that you see the guys doing?
I guess I can say yeah, because no disrespect towards the ladies, and I mean, women's wrestling has come a heck of a long way.
Definitely.
And Brandi Lauren and Shotzi, they are true examples of how far wrestling has come. I get nervous more so with the ladies, I guess, because, I was brought up, just to respect ladies, women, and, it's hard when you're in the ring and you see them, getting brutalized and brutalizing each other.
Right.
But yeah, I worry about all of the workers in the ring and all of the competitors in the ring. But I would say, yeah, more so for the ladies. It's more just a personal thing, the way I was brought up,
So would you say that that's the favorite match for you that you've ever reffed? Or if not, what is your favorite match you've ever reffed?
I would say that is by far the favorite match, just because the story that the match told, just being on the network, the 10th anniversary show, a milestone and, something I can check off my bucket list, But
so
yeah, I'm just Go ahead.
You're good. So you mentioned the card as a whole. Obviously, we had a little bit of skin in the game considering we had now the both Evolve and WWN champ on the show last week, Austin Theory. And our buddies from Breaking Down the Ring had JD Drake on their show that same week. So yeah, we had a little bit of a friendly rivalry going between the two of us on it, but,
shout out to Austin Theory.
That match even exactly. And, shout out to JD Drake too, though, man, they killed it. But for you, you know, what was your favorite match to watch on that card? And what was it like to experience that moment with Paul Heyman coming in there like that and talking about Evolve in the way he did?
Well, it would be hard for me to picture, figure out a favorite match, but, because they all meant something to a lot of important people in my life. And it was nice to see them, you know, reach milestones and overcome a lot of things in their career. But the Paul Heyman moment was pretty surreal. I had the opportunity to meet Paul in the back, and he's a true professional. And, you know, when it went down, it was, you know, it was quite the moment. So, the Paul Heyman, you know, spot and, you know, with Theory and his match, you know, that was, to me, that was probably, you know, as a fan moment, you know, that was my, you know, my favorite match. So.
Well, I'm pretty sure that there were matches that you guys put on before the actual broadcast. So were you involved in any other matches during the night?
No, that is the only match I had. Okay. I was shuttling talent back and forth to gorilla position because of the locker room was a long way. My responsibility was the women's match, and I had backstage responsibilities, just things like that to do.
Okay. Well, so that's another question that I got to ask about referees. So other than, you know, actually reffing a match, what other responsibilities do you have on, not necessarily this past Saturday, but any night that Evolve's running a show or any company, what responsibilities do referees have other than actually reffing a match?
Well, each referee, I guess, has their own responsibility or duties leading up to the show. Me personally, I help set up the ring and the lights and the banners and, you know, the production aspect of everything. And I'm the first, one of the first guys in the building, and, me and a handful of guys, we don't leave until the trailer's locked up and it's on to the next town. And that's another thing I guess I can pride myself on. And that goes back to, you know, how do you get work? You know, you stay and you work hard and you just wait for that opportunity. But, you know, don't half-ass it. You know, if you're going to be anything, you know, just be the best anything that you can. And people notice that stuff and people get opportunities. So.
So we just got done talking about Evolve 131 and things like that. You know, have you done any reffing at the shows we've had here at home in Livonia?
Yes, I have. Without looking, I'd say three or four times.
Okay.
One of my first actual Evolve shows was in Livonia. I've been working, I've been working with them since Evolve 83 or 84. Mm-hmm. And, you know, now we've just done 131, 132.
So what's that like for you coming back to, what's that like for you coming back to Livonia, and tell us a little bit about your thoughts on the crowd that usually shows up here in Livonia? Cause we've been to probably the last, what, three, four,
probably all of them, I think
pretty much everyone they've had there, I think.
Yeah, Livonia is like our second home, next to LaBoom nightclub in Queens, New York. That's been our home, you know, like kind of our staple. We run there most often. But to come to, you know, Livonia, we sell out the building, at least the last three times that we've been there, if not more, we've sold out the building. It's a great atmosphere. A lot of locals know me because when I started and I was going, you know, running the Detroit and the Michigan circuit, I worked with a lot of those guys. So they show up and, you know, they root and cheer for me. So, you know, it's kind of nice to, so to speak, and, you know, work. It's my parents get to see me there. It's a great opportunity. You know, I only have to drive, you know, about an hour for my family. You know, to see me. So,
right. And the next time Evolve's going to be here is August 24th.
That is cool.
That is a Saturday. So I think tickets are on sale now. So people, make sure you go get your tickets now for that show. And also,
I don't mean to cut you off. You can get your tickets at etix.com or if I fluffed that, I believe that's right. You can definitely go to www.wwnlive.com and join Club WWN. All of the information is on there on tickets and streaming and all that good stuff there. So,
man, it's a company man right there. I like that.
That's what I do. I'm a company guy. So,
and also that night, and I'm definitely looking forward to this because I missed the last show. Shine's going to be the same day before the Evolve show. Are you going to be refereeing any of those matches?
Yes, pretty much any shows on the Evolve Loop or WWN. If I'm there, I'm booked for it. Yeah, I work the Shine show as well. So that'll be a 3-show weekend for me.
Okay. Well, like I said, I wasn't able to make the last show because it was on a Friday. I had to work. But today, I mean, the next time they're going to have a better opportunity, more people be able to come to that show. So as far as the Shine show, what can people that have never been, what can they expect to see from the ladies?
Well, Brandi Lauren and Shotzi Blackheart are in Shine. So if that tells you enough right there. I guess I'll just leave it right there. Check it out. Shine Wrestling. You know, the women are phenomenal. They work hard. They do the right things. They train, you know, they don't take the shortcuts. Shine Wrestling is a very reputable, women's company. And if you have not checked them out, check them out. You can check them out as well on Club WWN.
Not to mention their champ is, a friend of the show and, a hometown girl in Allison Gay.
Yes, the pinky girl.
Yes, pinky's up. Yeah, pinky's but up. She's known all over the place around here, as I'm sure you're well known. But, you know, now that you're
I'm not that well known, but thank you. I appreciate it. I'm trying. No. I'm trying, buddy.
That fucked up. Anyways. Now that you're with Evolve, are you running just mainly all Evolve shows now, or are you running stuff around here still, or?
At the moment, it's Evolve, and I also work for Heroes and Legends, out of Fort Wayne, Indiana.
Okay.
And, I actually am working, next weekend in Lorain, Ohio for Maximum Assault Wrestling. I picked up that job, but I mostly think Blue Water Championship Wrestling, which is like literally 10 minutes from my home. But they were having venue issues, so they are no longer running shows at this moment. Oh. But yeah, those are pretty much the companies that I'm actively working for. And anything else under the WWN banner, as I said.
So talk to me about Heroes and Legends. I haven't been able to go to a show. I've heard great things about it. I've heard that they bring in some big name legends to, you know, sign autographs, stuff like that. So talk to me about Heroes and Legends.
Are you there?
Yeah. Yep. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I'm sorry. We cut out, my friend. I'm sorry. Heroes and Legends. It's definitely a fan fest experience. It's a very up close and personal meet and greet and intimate setting as far as like the seating and, you know, the ring setup and everything. They bring in a lot of Hall of Fame wrestlers, gentlemen and ladies that have been, you know, most recently on TV, but, you know, they just may have recently got released. Jason Maples always finds a way to bring, you know, talent in there like that. And it's always a great time for the fans. It's like a home away from home for me. That's where I really got my confidence, as Jeff the Ref was working for Jason Maples at Heroes and Legends. So I owe a lot to that guy. So I'd like to give him a shout out if he is listening.
Do they have a show coming up anytime soon?
Yes, they have a show September 5th at the Allen County War Memorial Coliseum in Fort Wayne, Indiana. You can go to heroesandlegends.com or you can check out Jason Maples on Facebook or Heroes and Legends minus the D on Twitter.
Man, I love it, man. He's got all the information right there. I like this company, man.
Not only that, but you have no idea how many people come on the show and, like, whether it's a fighter or whomever it might be, you got to be like, hey, you might want to mention your sponsors.
yeah. you got to take care of the people that take care of you. So that's what it's all about, being a good brother.
So okay, how do I word this differently since he's a referee? So usually we have a segment that we usually ask a lot of the guys on the show about locker room stuff. Like, for instance, Josh Briggs, when he came on, he said, you know, bring your own wrist tape, bring your own squirt bottle. We've heard wash your balls. We've heard keep your baby mama out the locker room. So from a referee's point of view.
Wait, you know, Austin Theory said stay out of his own personal locker room.
Yeah, I forgot that part.
Hey, he is Mr. Big, so he deserves that. So
for you, you know, what would be one of those for you from a referee's point of view in the locker room?
Like things I get asked for most often is like gum. Guys like to chew gum in the ring or before they go in the ring. Tape is another thing. Sometimes snacks.
Anything in specific that pisses you off?
No, man. Like, I'm an easygoing guy, honestly. Like, I mean, unless anybody asks me, you know, like something that's totally, you know, outlandish, yeah, I've never had a request that has pissed me off like that. I mean, so to speak. So,
Devin.
Okay. Well, we only got you for a few more minutes, man. Just want to give you an opportunity. If there's anything that you need to plug or anything that you wanted to say, let people know that you have coming up. Give you an opportunity to get that out of your system before we ask our last few questions.
I would just like to give a shout out to Gabe Sapolsky and Sal Hamoy for believing in me and for working so hard to give us all a stage, you know, to show the world what we can do. I would just like to thank, I mean, I could take up a lot of time and thank a lot of people, but like Steve Wilson, Ty Wellington, and Drew Taylor, and you know, those guys helped me get to where I was, and Les Thatcher for being, you know, my trainer and being hard on me, but being a good brother and, you know, helping push me along the way for, you know, I owe a lot to him for that. And, you know, my parents for putting up with me and, you know, all the shenanigans and my kids, you know, and, you know, it's the same old story, not to make it sound like it's not important, but, you know, the money and the time on the road and away from people, you know, this network show that we did, it made everything worth it. But we just want to let everybody know that we're not done and the work is just beginning. So keep your eye out for Evolve Wrestling.
Definitely. Well, for me, my last question, there's three people that I want to get your thoughts on, like what they meant to you. And if people have never heard of them, what their roles are in your life and in the business. Those three people are Briar Wellington, Gabe Sapolsky, and Chris Bonjour. We've had Chris on the show. We definitely want to get Briar on the show and Gabe Sapolsky. So I just want to hear your thoughts on those three people in particular.
I'll start with Chris Bonjour. I never knew Chris, even though he lived in Michigan. I never seemed to run into him on any of the indie shows that I was doing. When we met in Evolve, he was a very big supporter of me, and we kind of just clicked. Like, there's certain people you meet in life that you just click with, and you can't even explain it, but, like, Chris was one of those good people, and he's always been, you know, one of the hardest workers, and he drives that damn van like there's no tomorrow, and, you know, the wheels literally fall off that thing if you follow
any
of their stuff on Facebook. The tires always seem to blow out and catch on fire and, you know, stuff like that, but Chris Bonjour is a good brother. He works his ass off behind the scenes. And, you know, he's a guy that deserves a lot of credit, especially for, like, the Midwest promoting and bringing Evolve to Michigan. So.
Yeah, shout out to Chris.
Shout out to Chris Bonjour. And Briar Wellington. What can I say? He kind of took me under his wing, and he didn't have to. Early in my career, well, it wasn't even a career at that time. It was just kind of something that I wanted to be involved with. But he took me under his wing. He showed me the ropes. He taught me, you know, to respect the business and the people before you and to work hard and always own up your, you know, your mistakes and, you know, never be complacent with where you are, what you're doing. And so he pretty much instilled that in me. And, you know, he took me around the indie scene in Michigan and, you know, he introduced me to all the guys, and, you know, that was a cool thing he didn't have to do. So I appreciate you. Shout out to you, Brian. I know we're almost out of time here, but I'll leave Gabe Sapolsky for last. Gabe is like a father to me. I guess there's a lot of times that I thought I didn't deserve to be here, but Gabe stuck with me, and, you know, he believed in me, and he saw something in me. And I can't thank that man enough for what he's done for me, and for my life and for my career. So shout out to Gabe Sapolsky. I love you, man.
Well, I mean, we've already touched on the show that's coming here in Michigan. I mean, if there's anything else that you want to plug that you'll be out on, whether it's, you know, for any of the other companies you listed or anything for Evolve, man, just this is your chance to throw out whatever you need to.
I'm pretty much a little choked up now, because when you get in the sentimental part of how you got to where you are and celebrating, I'm probably can't think of anything else. That I want to
hey, that's all
now.
Fair, bro.
Sorry, man. Didn't mean to get you all choked up, man. Apologize.
No, man. That's a good, sorry. Like, I'm not even embarrassed. Like, whoever hears this, like, it's real, like, emotion. The emotion in pro wrestling is real. And when you get to where you want to be, like, it's the most amazing feeling in the world. So,
Yeah, you're talking to the guy that was crying when Kofi Kingston won the championship. So I understand.
Yeah.
Grown man boo-hooing. Yeah.
So, trust me, there were plenty of them at MetLife that were too.
So Jeff, man,
but honestly, I guess I do got one more shout out. Shout out to you guys for, you know, being cool and you know, allowing me to be on, you know, your podcast, and you know, I hope this helps you guys out. You know, sky's the limit for you guys, and I'm going to continue on to support you and listen to your podcast. So
much appreciated,
thank you. Appreciate that, man. So Jeff, why don't you let the people know where they can find you on social media, man?
You can find me at Ref Jeff Bundy on Twitter. You can follow Evolve Wrestling at WWN Evolve. You can find me on Facebook. Actually, you can't, because I'm morphing my page into a personal page, but I will eventually probably have a fan page just where fans can see, you know, where I'm going to be and what's going on in my life type of thing. But Twitter is probably the best way, or Instagram.
Hey, shout out to
my
Chris.
My Instagram is director_of_kayfabe. That is my Instagram. I don't always update it, but Twitter, Instagram is the best way to get a hold of me probably, or see what's going on in my life. So
Chris, you just missed it, man. He was talking all about you.
Yeah. Chris is watching right now.
I love you, Chris. You're my boy. We did it,
man. Well, Jeff, man, appreciate you coming on the show, man. We know you got to run, man. Take care of business, but, we'd love to have you back another time, man.
Oh, you guys, thank you so much, man. This is an honor and a pleasure. Thank you.
No problem.
All right. Peace.
Peace.
Jeff the Ref, man.
Hey, man, it's a cool different look than what we normally have, you know, having the wrestlers on. So, I mean, hey, I'm cool with it.
And, yeah, shout out to Chris Bonjour for watching, man.
Of course. And thanks for putting us on the hookup with Theory. And, you know, I mean, Chris is the guy that's helping us bring all these stars of Evolve to you. So without Chris, you're not seeing all this stuff on the show.
Definitely. And, yeah, congratulations to you guys for a great show, man. You guys got the opportunity, man. You definitely kicked down the door, man, and let people know what Evolve is about. And definitely looking forward to when they come back on August 24th with Shine and Evolve. Definitely going to the Shine show this time, man.
I mean, I would definitely say as a whole, and I mean, it doesn't happen all the time, but I feel like I would go as far as to say every match that was on the 10th anniversary special was pretty damn good. From front to back, I mean, it was a good show.
Man, I'm trying to figure out if it's just bias because we end up getting free food and beer because of, but me personally, I really enjoyed the Austin Theory, JD Drake match the most.
I liked it with the Paul stuff and all that. Yeah, that was my favorite too.
That too. And I don't know if it's because those were not saying I have a problem with the NXT guys, but actually seeing the Evolve guys on the big stage, you know, them getting their best opportunities, stepping up and putting on one hell of a match. And, you know, not even just that one, that's the whole night, but this match in particular with Theory versus JD Drake. I mean, you got the opportunity and you kicked in the door, man, let people know what you were about. So, yeah, shout out to those guys.
I mean, they both killed it. I mean, it wasn't just a one-man show. I mean, both of those guys really showed up.
And shout out to the Dynasty, Austin Theory, Champ Champ.
Oh, shit. Here comes the second half.
All righty. Who we got?
Hello.
Yellow.
Yeah, that's me.
Mr. Thunder, what's going on?
Yo, I'm alive.
Do we have our guest with us?
No, we don't have Mr. Nielsen with us at the moment. He is currently in the transition of signing some new documents to help Backstreet Boys to Men become a bigger success than what it already is. So, you know, I'm sure he'll be calling me here in a minute or two, you know, returning my call so we can get things underway, so to speak.
All right. So, Tony, we got to know, you watch the Evolve 10th anniversary special? And if so, what did you think?
Oh, man, it was good, man. It was good to see guys going out there and killing it, man. And, you know, me being a big fan of A.R. Fox, man, seeing him come a long way from back when I used to ref, you know, to see him be on a WWE, you know, network special is huge, you know. And then I heard, like, right after the show, he was help tearing down the ring. So, you know, all the green kids that think they're too good to help down the ring, you know, A.R. Fox did it, so... And shout out to Congo Kong, who I just saw this past Saturday in Decatur, Indiana. He was helped tearing down the ring as well. He wanted me to take a picture of it so he could use it to tell these green kids that they messing up around here. So, yeah, shout out to Congo Kong, man.
So we got to get your thoughts on it just because that's what we were talking about before you called in. Obviously, you saw that we had a little bit of a wager with the boys from Breaking Down the Ring with the Austin Theory and JD Drake match. Give us your thoughts on that match and any thoughts you had.
Man, I mean, what a lot of people don't know is that the style of wrestling is a lot different, you know, on the indies and in certain promotions compared to WWE. So I know a lot of people saw that match and was just like, oh my God, it was the greatest thing ever, you know? And I agree that they killed it, you know, what more could you want? But if you expect them to have that same exact kind of match in WWE, I don't know what you're looking for. It's not going to happen.
Yeah, you can't do that match 300 nights in a year.
Of course not, you know?
I mean, those guys went for it.
Huh?
I said those guys really went for it. I mean, if they were going to do a match like that all the time, I mean, holy shit, there's no way either one of their bodies could hold up. I don't care what kind of shape you're in.
Well, yeah, and I mean, I got a different taste of wrestling than most people. You know, like, and if you look at Extreme Rules, my favorite match on the card was personally, my personal favorite match was Cesaro and Aleister, man.
Yes. Yes, thank
like,
you.
Like, that match was just all around fucking amazing. And Cesaro, it's just like the small things that makes me love Cesaro. Like, if you notice, every time Aleister kicked out, Cesaro would grab a limb. You know, if he kicked out and his arm was up, he grabbed his arm.
Yeah.
If he kicked up and his head was up, he grabbed a headlock. Like, Cesaro was just so good. You know, it's just ridiculous.
Man, Cesaro, I can't remember exactly what the move was, but Cesaro ended up catching Aleister Black, and he was kind of off balance.
Oh, when he tried to hit him with the Meteora.
Yes, yes. Dude, I don't think people really realize
that. Nature, man.
You know,
dude.
You have, like, that takes so much strength because he was off balance, and it could have been a disaster, but the fact that he was able to rebalance and then hold him up there, man, that's a feat of strength that I don't think a lot of people really realize, man.
When we went to that thing Mania weekend, this guy came in like probably, I would say we were like, I already knew it was coming, so it's all good. But dude, like we had already finished our workout or whatever, and then the next thing you know, he comes in, doesn't stretch, doesn't fucking nothing. Just walks right in, and him and Rollins are doing like a straight up one-on-one, you know, going at it. And I'm like, this motherfucker didn't even stretch or nothing, and he's just tossing shit up, down, no nothing. And I'm like, dude, like, how do you not?
Have any of you guys ever heard the story about Cesaro when he first came to America?
No, but I feel like it's pretty going to be pretty funny. Sure.
So, okay, he went to a training school in Atlanta, right? So his flight got in, let's say his flight got in at like 9 o'clock at night. The school opens up at 6. Cesaro goes, you know, lands in Atlanta. He literally walked from the airport to the school and just stood outside of this wrestling school until it opened up.
Wow.
Like, if you don't believe me, go on the WWE Network. That's a cheap plug. And it was one of the animated stories.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Thing with Mean Gene on it?
Yeah.
Story time?
But I had heard the story before this. I'm like, dude, that is the craziest thing I've ever heard in my life, man. He walked from the airport to the wrestling school and just stood there waiting for the school to open up.
Like,
yeah, man. I mean, that's dedication, man. When you love something that much, you do anything for it.
Well, I had tweeted about that last night on Raw off of our page. Like, I just thought it was so cool that since you're going to do a proverbial quote-unquote top 10 for that match on Raw last night, for them to have Big E and Cesaro as a part of that, I really liked that you finally are seeing them, you know, given a little bit of a shine as some of the top guys in WWE, because for the most part, I mean, Big E's been seen as a tag team guy because of the New Day and Cesaro. You know, in the bar. So, I don't know. I just thought it was cool to really see them on a singles deal.
Man, is it just me, or was that, like, Philly crowd just, like, not into it?
It's about Extreme Rule.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'll be honest. It was because I was kind of bouncing around, you know, at the party. I was kind of, like, watching the matches and having conversations at the same time, so I really didn't get a chance to, like, you know, pay attention to commentary or the crowd. So, I have to go back and watch, but...
It's like they weren't sitting on their hands, because there was moments where there was huge problems, like the Burn It Down, when they said, "Oh, Burn It Down," it was like, wow, they're there. But like during the match, it's like, where are they? You know?
Hey, Tony,
at least that's how I felt.
Tony, you haven't been on the show in a while, man.
I haven't.
It's been a minute, man.
Man, that's because Randy hates me. He don't want to get the Skype fixed. And yeah, man, let's keep it real.
Uh-oh.
Keep it real.
Uh-oh, shit, he's unmuting it.
I don't hate you. And I think our Skype upgrade finally lets multiple caller happen. I don't know.
Well, we'll have to test this theory once we're off the air. And so see if we can get Tony Thunder in here more regularly. Well, while we're waiting for Adam Nielsen to call in, do any of you guys got any thoughts about Fight for the Fallen?
Oh, yeah, that's what I was going to ask Tony. Like, what's his thoughts about the AEW stuff and Ring of Honor and WWE? Start off with AEW, man. What's your thoughts?
I think a lot of people are jumping the gun with it being competition for WWE. I mean, I'm not one of those guys that are like, oh, hell no, it'll never be competition. You guys are crazy. But at the same time, I'm not one of those guys that's like, oh, WWE's about to die. You guys are going to live through it. You know what I mean? So... I'm kind of somewhere in between where I feel like they could definitely be competition, but they're nowhere near a threat right now. By any means of the word, you know.
As far as
Ring of Honor goes, man, I just say it's just sad how everybody's like looking at AEW and WWE and New Japan and TNA and just kind of leaving Ring of Honor.
Ring of Honor's been dope, bro. I'm not just saying this because Shane Taylor's been on the show a few times and friend of the show and all that stuff, but dude.
Shout out to Shane Taylor.
For sure. And he's still holding that damn belt.
And shout out to Kenny King, man. Kenny King is killing it right now.
That's one of the ones I wanted to talk about. The stuff between him and Jay Lethal is gold. They just brought Maria Manic over there. She's going to tear shit up in the women's division. You brought, you know, the beautiful people over there and teamed them up with Mandy Leon. You got... Kelly Klein, you've got.
Shout out to No Coast, by the way. Leonce Giovanni, you know that guy's come a long way, man. He's been killing it. Hopefully, we can get him on the show soon, man. But yeah, shout out to No Coast.
Hey, Tony, what do you know about Tasha Steelz?
I don't know much about Tasha Steelz.
Okay, she. I just saw her on the last episode of Ring of Honor. She was in a 4-way match. She's somebody I've been kind of, you know, watching on the indie scene, you know, just randomly. And I just wanted to see if you had heard anything about her, man. But
no, but I did hear, you know, that this Saturday that, you know, I feel like Sean Tyler. Well, first of all, I want to say that Sean Tyler, man, if you're listening, I know you listen sometimes with your little chain you swing around and your new friends with this little purse thing you're going through.
Uh-oh.
But I gotta let Sean Tyler know that this Saturday, man, I'm gonna kick you in the mouth, bro.
Whoa, you guys going against each other?
No. See, here's the thing. See, I'm sick and tired of people especially in the northern Indiana area, let things slide that shouldn't be sliding anymore. You know what I mean? Like, there's a lot of issues going out in that area that was a super no-no when I was coming up in this business. And guys are not only getting away with it, they're getting awarded for it. So, you know, they're going to need Sean Tyler. They're going to need every lucha they can find. And if they can even find a space alien to come and stop me when they storm Area 51, they better find the best alien they can find to take me out, because this Saturday I'm killing anybody that steps in my way. Plain and simple.
Well, where's this going to happen at, man? Where can we see this?
This is happening in UWF in South Bend, Indiana. Death Threat Army will be there.
Shout out.
Rene Dupree will be there. Ricky Reyes will be there. Sean Tyler will be there, and his face will be hitting my foot. You know.
Hey, ask Ricky Reyes ask Ricky Reyes how come he never got back to us when he hit us up to come on the show.
I'm gonna tell. Yeah, man, Ricky Reyes, man. You know what's funny is that he's in the Rat Pack now, which is funny. So
what?
Yeah.
Really?
Are we thinking the same dude from the Lucha Underground? Yeah, then that is the same guy we're talking about.
Part of the Rat Pack.
No shit. All right. Wow. How the tables have turned.
Hey, Tony.
That's me.
Do we want
to... Yo, somebody keeps texting my phone, and if you're listening to the podcast, could you please fucking stop? All right. No, because I'm sorry. I can't see who it is right now. I just keep hearing do-do-do-do-do, and it's pissing me off. So if you're listening, please fucking stop. Thank you.
So we got... I just wanted to say something off of what you were saying on your thoughts to AEW.
Okay.
I completely and 100% agree in this sense. I think AEW's definitely created a buzz, and that's hard to deny in any shape, form, or fashion. But if there's anything that its first three shows have shown us, like Fyter Fest, I'm sorry, but the Jerbailey match fucking sucked. Sorry. But that, you know, in that show or in, you know, Fight for the Fallen. I mean, there's little things that they're still working out. So to say that they're a number two right now, I don't know. I definitely think that there's a good chance that they could be, you know, when they go to TNT, if they work out all the bugs and all that kind of shit. But I mean,
they have not done one television show yet. So there's not even really a competition yet. So,
well, exactly.
October is when we finally see what this company's really about. Double or Nothing was a great, you know, launch. Fyter Fest and
I heard they got a video game in the works. Like, I don't know how true that is.
I've heard all of them say that. Not only Kenny, Cody, the Bucks, all of them.
But these matches are there's a little bit of storyline in them, but it's not much. We won't know what this company really is until October when they launch on, I think, Wednesdays on TNT.
A weekly basis.
Yeah, and again, that's not to say that they're not, like, we're fans of them. Hell, we're supposed to be at StarCast, you know, I mean.
And All Out.
Exactly. So, I mean, we're big fans of AEW, but at the same time, I'm just saying, you see all these people that as soon as they came out, holy shit, AEW's taking over. Well, Pump.
Vince is gonna die.
You know, like, pump your brakes. Okay. Yeah, I mean,
but I will say that I will say this. You gotta say WWE is taking notice.
Oh, sure. Because that's undeniable.
Because they realize, okay, these guys are on cable television coming up in October. We're gonna be on broadcast TV. We're gonna have to step up our game. It's spent a lot of money to keep people on their roster. They bringing in Eric Bischoff and Paul Heyman. So they realize, hey, we're going to have to step our game up too. And that's all I wanted, was everybody to step their game up.
See, it's gonna have to be a point where, like, maybe this is all just too much hype. I hope AEW does good. I really do, because the WWE works better under pressure when they feel like they're losing either money, fans, or whatever. Whenever they feel like they're losing, they step their game up in the program, and material gets, in my opinion, in aspect, a lot better. Now, at the same time, we thought the same thing when TNA first had Hogan join them, and it was this huge deal. And, oh, TNA's finally going to compete with WWE. The Monday Night Wars is back. Hulk Hogan's going to take over, and people are going to love it. And the first episode hit, like, what, a million views or something like that, and it was real close to Raw, and everybody was like, yes, wrestling is back. And then the next week, they didn't even hit a million.
Yeah,
and see, the but WWE would you, was still hitting 2-3 million. Like,
but my question is, would you say that it's? I mean, I feel like it's different only in the sense that I feel like TNA by the time Hogan got there, even I feel like there was kind of like this stench.
TNA still had a lot of the WWE's biggest guys there with them at the time.
You know, Kyle, I disagree with you, man. I felt like TNA at that point before Hogan got there, that's when they were like getting to their best. I think bringing in Hogan, Russo.
I'm not saying that wasn't their highest point, but I'm just saying I feel like they were still even always looked at as like the small little.
Well, yeah, but what I'm saying is that I don't think there was a stench at that point. There was a buzz about TNA because I remember at that point I stopped.
Yeah,
I kind of
stopped the video game during that time.
Yeah,
yeah, I kind of stopped watching WWE.
They had major weekly TV at that time. Like the same hype that AEW was getting, TNA had at that
time. That's fair.
Yeah, I honestly kind of stopped watching WWE at that point and started watching more TNA. But it's when Hogan and Russo and Bischoff got in there and basically made it this, you know, all the old guys coming in to, you know, take over and basically stop pushing these young guys that we wanted to see, your Samoa Joes, your AJ Styles, your Christopher Daniels, your Roderick Strongs, all these guys. That's when I checked out because I'm like, dude, I've seen this story before. So as long as I think if AEW, you know, sticks with what they do best and don't try to be WWE light, they'll be okay.
So then what was your favorite part of Fight for the Fallen then? Like what specifically did you like out of the show?
Dude, I love the Lucha Bros, man.
Dude, they're the shit. Bro.
Wait, dude, the Lucha Bros theme song is one of the best theme songs out right now, man.
Again, I can't argue that.
I love the Lucha Bros.
And the way how they throw it with the extra mask over top, I the whole thing's been dope. I think the ladder match that they're going to do now with the Young Bucks at All Out, it's going to be insane.
Definitely. And one other thing I'm definitely looking forward to, I'm a big Awesome Kong fan, and I've always wanted to see her go up against Aja Kong, and they had their little face-off, so I'm assuming that's going to be a match at All Out. So basically, I have to go to All Out now to see Awesome Kong versus Aja Kong.
Well, Jared Colby just told us that he was at Fight for the Fallen, ring the bell.
Bam.
And that he said it was a great show, I guess.
And they got production issues they got to figure out, but they got time.
I like that arena though.
Yeah, the music was weird. That's one of the first things I noticed.
The music was weird. There was like dead spots in the show. That broadcast team, they're going to have to figure out that dynamic.
That was
what's that guy? Alex Marvez.
Alex Marvez, dude.
It was points during the show where you could tell like JR and Excalibur were kind of getting annoyed.
Well, dude, some of the stuff he was saying, it just didn't make. It made no sense because you're just like, what the fuck does that got to do with anything?
Who's the guy from Fighter Fest that was doing the broadcast? Was his name Golden Boy?
I forgot the guy's name, but he wasn't bad.
He wasn't bad, man. They got some things to figure out.
So that would be my critique for the show is that I didn't like that on the commentary. I think JR and Excalibur are good together, but all in all, like,
they need Vampiro there.
Holy shit.
That's not bad.
I mean.
You know, if they could. Hold on, wait. I'll give you this. If they could somehow reunite JR and King for their weekly show, automatic fucking spike in ratings, in my opinion.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
I think so.
I don't think that's even arguing.
If you're turning the TV and you don't know what AEW is and you're flipping through channels or whatever, and you hear those two iconic voices calling the match, you're going to stop.
Hey, I got one for you. Taz isn't signed to anybody.
Oh, you know what, Devin? Fuck you. no, are you really a fan of Taz's commentary?
Well, SmackDown Taz?
Taz has his own segment on Botchamania, and it's 2019. You know what I mean? Like, Taz still has his own segments on Botchamania of how horrible he was on commentary.
What's wrong with Taz, man? Taz.
I didn't mind Taz so much, so I can't say nothing.
Bro, go back and watch the Botchamanias. And he even has his own special where JR's like, it's Taz! And then you watch, like, Taz call a match horribly. And it's just bad moments and bad things he says that's just kind of like, what did he just say?
So, let's ask
JBL this. Was better than Taz on commentary.
I like JBL on commentary, though. So, again,
yeah.
I'm cool with it. But with Fight for the Fallen, my thing is I've liked most everything that Cody's done since he left WWE. And that's before the Ring of Honor stuff happened, all that. But what do you think about the way that they're – granted, they still got to do the tag team tournament, all that kind of stuff. I personally liked the whole thing with the Cody and Dustin thing, as we mentioned, after Double or Nothing. I mean, I thought that was some of the best, you know, storytelling I've seen in a match in a while.
Five star.
I mean, I'm not doing that star bullshit. But anyway, I thought it was great. What are your thoughts on what they're doing with Cody and Dustin? And do you see, you know, you mentioned the JR and King thing. I mean, I don't think they let King go for nothing now.
Oh, WWE's not letting anybody go.
You know, like, I hate the dirt sheets, but I have seen it buzzing around that Finn is talking about he wants to leave or whatever.
Yeah, he just asked for some time off.
Yeah?
Yeah, I just saw that earlier today.
I mean, I wouldn't be shocked by it. I mean, same guy, Jared Colby, said he thinks that Cody has a very NWO Hollywood Hogan feel to him.
I can see that.
I can't. Wait, what does he mean by that?
You know, the whole, you know, walking out with the wrestler belt thing and
kind of like just the fact that he's doing like the whole takeover thing like Hogan did when NWO came out.
Kind of booking himself in some of the bigger matches. Yeah, something like that. I'm not saying it's like a carbon copy.
I think he means more in the cool sense.
If anybody would be the Hogan of the NWO, that would completely make the Monday Night Wars a real actual thing would be John Cena.
John Cena!
Cena went to AEW, that would spark the Monday Night Wars, or whatever they want to call it this time. John Cena becoming the AEW guy is going to take millions, and I literally mean millions of fans on their product that did not know it even existed. Right. So you got the millions of fans that they already got, plus a million John Cena fans on top of that. That is virtually the same thing that Hogan did to make WCW like, oh my God. You know what I mean? It's just one of those things. And they could even do a story where it's like, Cena joins the Elite. Now that's Hogan joining the NWO. What more could you ask for if you really wanted that war to start?
All right, we're running short on time, but Tony, the question I got to ask you is, do you...
Hold on, wait, one second. Hold on.
Here we go.
Just give me 1 second, hold on.
Okay. What up, Brandon? Oh, shit. Why not when he joined
it? What? Are we good?
We already know where this is going.
Yeah, we know. We're just going to kill a little time. So, yeah, I was...
Hello?
Are you there?
Yeah, unfortunately, Adam Nielsen had Amanda Bobby Cooper on three-way with him, and we just don't have enough time for him this week. So I just want to apologize to all the Amanda Bobby Cooper and Adam Nielsen fans that were expecting them this week on the show.
And side note, shout out to Amanda Bobby Cooper for signing the Fight for Lights out in Grand Rapids. I think that's what it's
all right. September. Amanda Bobby Cooper, yeah. See, you could have been in studio. We're going to have Amanda Bobby Cooper in studio for our, you know, interview, you know. We'll have enough time for it next time, and... Yeah, you know.
So Tony, here's the question, man. Do you want to make the announcement about next week, or do you want to hold off on that? Is that not confirmed?
That's actually this Saturday.
Huh?
Yeah, I thought it was next Saturday, but it's actually this Saturday. And I kind of already hinted towards it and said it. If y'all want to pay attention, go back and rewind. But yeah, I've said it already. Oh, wait, you talking about, okay, my bad.
I'm talking about the show.
My bad. Huh?
Yeah, I'm talking about next Tuesday's show. Can we make that announcement? Is that confirmed, or do we got to wait on that?
I kind of already told him myself, but he confirmed it. I don't know how well his confirmation is, but he himself confirmed it. So, ladies and gentlemen, next week, we're bringing you the Woofy Wolf himself, the insane, crazy, loving, special Wolf that he is. Ladies and gentlemen, next week, we bring to you Marty Jannetty.
Yes, sir.
Jesus Christ. This show is going to hell before we even started it.
Marty frickin' Jannetty.
Marty Jannetty, y'all. He loves him some black women.
Well, and so that,
I guess you didn't see that message chain, man.
I saw it, but I didn't know if it was a like, joke or not.
I'm like, TJ Woofy Wolf. I'm like, why does that sound oddly familiar, man?
Marty Jannetty, we're going to talk about fucking rock and roll, cocaine, bitches. I'm sorry, he likes to call them ladies of the night.
Oh,
you know, that's going to be one of the most fun interviews.
Is there anything that's off limits? Oh,
so far, he hasn't told me that anything's off limits. I personally wouldn't ask him about his daughter, but if y'all want to,
I'm not asking shit about that.
I mean, I think we're a little bit more professional than that, right, guys? I mean, I just said it right now on this episode, but I wouldn't ask him. Like, you know what I mean?
Yeah, you know what? We'll be professional. At least I will be.
Yeah.
There's a first time for everything.
I'm going to ask him about his daughter.
With that being said, do we got anything else that we got to throw out? Shout out to everybody that came out to Buffalo Wild Wings this past Sunday. Checked out Extreme Rules with us, man. Shout out to Austin Theory for getting me some free chicken wings.
Yes, sir.
All right?
Boom.
Chicken wings.
This past Sunday was my granny's birthday, so happy birthday to Granny Thunder.
Happy birthday.
Shout out to Granny Thunder. Yo, also, I'm Tony Thunder everywhere. Fuck your couch. I beat Kyle to it.
Oh, Jeff Bunny said it's October 5th. I'm not sure if he's talking about the Heroes and Legends show.
That's going to be my guess, but...
Well,
wait, say that again?
Jeff Bundy, referee from...
the first half of the show.
Yeah, first half of the show. He said it's October 5th. I think he's talking about the Heroes and Legends show, I think.
Oh, that's Jason Maple's show out here near me in Indiana somewhere.
Yeah, he's going to be reffing that show.
Nice.
So, yeah, we'll confirm that and that information out there. We might have to make it down for that, man. It sounds like it's gonna be
that'll be dope, man. Now, if y'all make it down here for Heroes and Legends, y'all gotta make it down here to see Tony Thunder. Y'all got me fucked up.
So yeah,
I don't care if Sting and Ric Flair is here. If y'all can't drive out here to see Tony Thunder, y'all can't drive out here to see me being there.
I was just about to ask you, when is the show and where is the show?
Man, if y'all can come out here to get this Saturday, man, y'all might see a surprise. I mean, you might see me kick Sean Tyler in the teeth. You might see me kick a lion in the teeth, a tiger, a bear. Oh, my. You might see me kick an alien in the mouth. You never know.
Was that a Movado reference?
What are you talking about?
Movado's an alien from Planet Detroit.
Oh. John Movado's a cool alien, though. I mean, you know, he's a friend of the show.
He definitely is. But, you know, you said it's going to be a South Bend?
Yeah. I want to double check, but I'm going to say South Bend. You know what? As a matter of fact, I'm unprofessional. I'm not ready for this myself, okay?
So
let it be known that Tony Thunder didn't have his shit together, and I'm going to look for it right now because, boom, there it is in my face. Speaking of Josh Movado, he just liked a post that has something to say about it, so he's going to be there. And we're going to be in Buchanan, Michigan, not Indiana.
Buchanan, Michigan?
Yeah.
Where the hell is that?
Over by your wrist.
All right, put that in your Google machines, people. Go to
make sure you're checking us out, subscribing on iTunes, Google Play, SoundCloud, YouTube. Go to KO3CPod.com. The shit's everywhere. Guys need to subscribe, leave us some ratings. Tell motherfuckers about us.
And make sure you guys come out August 11th for the Super Slam, the Summer Slam party at Buffalo Wild Wings downtown Detroit. We're going to be on the second level this time. We're going to be giving away all kinds of prizes.
And there might be a new championship.
And we got a Super Slam coming up.
That BCWA.
Oh, damn right. Damn right. That's what, August 24th,
I think.
Tony, you know the date on the BCWA?
4th or 7th.
One of those days. We'll be more prepared next time. But
yes, we will.
Buchanan, Michigan is located off of US 31, north of South Bend, Indiana. Nearby cities include Niles and Berrien Springs.
So it's just north of South Bend.
Don't laugh at me.
Thank you, Randy.
Why did Randy say that like such a like? Randy said that like he was getting paid to do broadcasting voiceovers for commercials.
Buchanan, Michigan is located in.
Buchanan, Michigan is located right next to South Bend, Indiana. You can also find Palm Springs. Whatever he said, but it sounded good.
It's also near Niles, and I forgot the other one. But come on out for that show, man. I might try to make it out for that one, man. So all KO3C Pod fans, make sure if you want to show some love to Tony Thunder, come check him out this Saturday. And with all that being said.
And Buchanan, Michigan.
Buchanan. With all that being said, until next time.
Cow. Fuck your cows?
Too late. He already ruined it.
All right. Well, peace.
I don't get to say the knockout three counts in the beginning. So, and hopefully Randy fixed Skype so I can be a part of the show as Lord intended. All right.
Wait, are we off?
No.
Oh. Till next time. Peace.
Peace.